Professor at YU's Stern College for Women, yes?
Mm-hmm.
The rabbi has his doctorate from NYU. He has his nikah for coming over. He's a good friend of our shul's. Thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing all the programs you do to us. And without further delay.
Thank you, Jeffrey, for putting it all together. So, I asked my class in Stern College, who's the greatest Baal Teshuva ever? And so they came up with all the different things that we said, and finally one student said, Na'aman. I couldn't believe she got it. She really got it.
Yeah.
Who is Na'aman? Right. So last week was very good a background. Rabbi Levitan talked about the power of Teshuvah. Even very evil people could make Teshuvah, which is an amazing thing. So this week I want to build on that and speak more about the power of Teshuvah by talking about three conceptions of sin and three paths to atonement. And one of the paths to atonement is Teshuvah, but we'll appreciate Teshuvah better if we see what the other two are. Okay. So before we get to these three, I also want to talk about some of the prayers on Yom Kippur, because this understanding will help us understand these prayers. I want to talk about two of the most important prayers on Yom Kippur. What's the most important prayer we have on Yom Kippur? Well, it's not a whole prayer. It's more of a pasuk. Vayavod. Right? The Yud Gil Midot, God's 13 attributes that we say 26 times over the course of Yom Kippur. And besides the actual prayer of Vayavod, we also have prayers about the prayer. Right? Bedil Vayavod. Remember us because of the Vayavod, this formula of the 13 Midot. Yeah, you obviously have to stand up 26 times. And, okay, so obviously this is a very important formula. So what does it mean and where does it come from? So most of you know, I'm sure, that it comes from Shemot, right after Chetah Egel, after Hashem wants to wipe them out, and Hashem reveals to Moshe this formula, these are my attributes. Now there's a bit of a problem with the way that we quote it, right? If anybody was paying attention on the fast day when we read this in the Torah, you can look at source number 4. That's right. So here it says, "Vayered Hashem b'anav yaseh Moshe v'yikra b'shem Hashem, v'yavod Hashem panav v'yikra Hashem Hashem." God, oh God, El Rachum v'chanun, Erech Apayim v'Rav Chesed v'Emet. So you're merciful and give grace and long suffering and ever very kind and truthful. Noser Chesed alafim, you show kindness for thousands of generations, no se'avon, you carry the burden of sin, and pesha is purposeful sin, and chata'a is mistaken sin, v'nake, lo yinake. What does that mean? That God will not wipe it out. Poked avon avot albanim, God will remember the sin of the father on the children for 3 and 4 generations. So, in the tefillah, when we quote it, we leave off the second half. Right, the negative part, and we only quote the first half. So how do we do that? How did the rabbis that made the Siddur have the ability to quote it out of context and quote only the first half? And even the phrase "v'nakeh lo yinakeh" is really one verb, and God will surely not wipe it out. And we quote only the first half of the verb to mean that God wipes it out. Okay, so this is a good question. Yes, what's going on here? So to understand this, we have to go back in time and review the history of the world. Luckily, we have a prayer in the Yom Kippur that does exactly this for us, reviews the history of the world, and that's the beginning of the Seder Havodah. So look on page number 5. I made a copy from the Machzor. So this is during Musaf, when we talk about review the Avodah, all the Korbanot that were done in the Beit HaMikdash and everything that was done on Yom Kippur. So we use a poem that's written all about this. And the poem is in alphabetic acrostic. It goes for Aleph Bet. You see the beginning of each phrase. Ata b'shuracha golem devarecha Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet. And it goes all the way to Taf. And then it goes from Taf back to Aleph and Aleph back to Taf. And it keeps going like that. So it starts off with the beginning of history. And we see that God has a plan. Atah konanta olam merosh. God, you established the world from the beginning. Yasadat ha-tevel, v'akol pa'alta, v'briot bo yasarta. You laid his foundations and created living things in it. V'shurecha olam, tohu v'abohu. When you saw the world, it was all chaos and darkness. Al p'nei tehom, gerashta ofel, v'esabta noga. And you created light. You sent away the darkness and brought light. Golem tavnit min ha'adamah yasarta, v'al es hadat oto pakalta. And you created one being from the ground, and you gave him a commandment. So this is the first principle we see. God creates the world, and it doesn't work again. It has to reboot with a new set of rules, and that doesn't work again. And finally, we're left at the end of Bereshit with the plan of we're going to have Bnei Yisrael, and they'll be the nation. Okay, so working within that, there are still a couple more levels and more plans to go, and the next plans that we're going to see are part of the three conceptions of sin. So notice that in the first three plans, in Gan Eden, was Adam given a chance to repent?
Yes.
He said, "Where are you?" But he wasn't really given a chance. He was punished right away. Right. Basically, he was punished right away. In the times of Noah, were they given a chance to repent?
Yes.
According to the Midrash, yes. Right, Noah would tell them all the time to repent. But in the Peshat, no. And you see that Midrash is all the more significant because it's inserting it, because it's missing there. They're not asked to repent. Bavel is also not asked to repent. So what you see in these first stages is that there's an equation. Sin, punishment. Right? Sin is something that has to be atoned for, and the way it's atoned for is through punishment. And that's the first level. Okay. So look, go back to source number one. This is where we're going to see the three conceptions. This is a fantastic midrash, very deep midrash, and in some ways very difficult to understand. But we're going to try to expound on it. It says, Tovi Ashar Hashem al ken yorech hata'im badarech. Source number one, on the first page. It's quoting a basuk from Tehillim. Hashem is good and upright, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. Shalu l'chokhmah. They came and asked wisdom. Oh, don't ask me who asked. Wisdom was asked. Hachoteh mahu onsho, the sinner, what is his punishment? Amra lahem v'chata'im tirdof ra'a. Misfortune pursues sinners. Right. So what's wisdom's answer? What does the sinner have to get? He has to get punished. Shalu l'nevu'ah. Hachoteh mahu onsho. Amra lahem hanefesh hachoteh titamut. What does the sinner get? He has to get death. Right. That's the only way. That's the consequence. That's the only way out. Shalu la Torah, chote ma onsho, amru lahem, yavi asham, v'yitkaper lo. They ask Torah, and Torah has a different answer. Torah says he can bring a sacrifice, and the sacrifice will atone for him. How does that work? Somehow the punishment that was supposed to be given to the person is transferred to the animal, and the animal is killed instead of the person. Right? The person should see that and realize, oh, that could have been me, and he'll change his ways. Right, but basically the sin is still something that's physical, still something there, and somebody or something has to be punished for it. If not the sinner, then a substitute. So it can be transferred. Finally, shalul hakadosh baruch hu hakoteh ma'u honsho amar lehem yaseh teshuvah v'yitkaper lo. Hadahi dichtiv tov v'yashar Hashem. Hashem, they ask Hashem, and he has a different answer. Oh, he can do teshuvah. He can change his ways, he can make vidui, and feel bad, and accept not to do it in the future. And then that's it. Why is he good? He's good because he's straight, upright, and he's upright because he's good. Therefore, yorech hata'im badarech, shemoreh lechata'im derech sheyasu teshuvah. Hashem doesn't destroy the sinners, he teaches them to make teshuvah and do right. Lefichach Hashem mazhir et Yisrael, ve'amar lahem shuvah Yisrael. That's why Hosea, the Navi, tells everybody to repent. So what you see here is three different conceptions of atonement, right? The first is represented by Chokhmah and Nevuah. Now it's very strange because you have presumably Nevuah and Torah and Chokhmah all come from Hashem, right? Yet they all have different answers. So what the Midrash is getting, Midrash is noticing that if you look through Tanakh, from the prophets or from the wisdom literature, you see that there are different ideas within Tanakh. And Midrash is bringing these out. And there's a hierarchy. Chokhmah is the lowest, because that just seems to be Chokhmah, is, you know, what the humans or people understand. Nevoah is a higher level. Torah is a higher level than Nevi'im, and then asking Hashem Himself is the highest level, right? So there are different levels, but they're all true at the same time. And so the different levels, I gave them names. I call the first one the cavity model. It's like if you go to a dentist, and he checks you and he says, you know, you haven't been brushing and flossing enough, and you have a cavity. And you tell the dentist, oh, I'm really sorry, I know it's true, I haven't been flossing every night, I'll never do it again, I repent, please forgive me. So the dentist doesn't have the ability to say he forgives you, right? You still have to get drilled. There's only one way to get rid of the cavity. I always find it interesting that dentists like kind of take it personally when you don't brush, right? Hygienists also, like they get upset about it. It's enough that I have a cavity, I have to feel guilty of it. Okay, so this is the first idea of sin. Sin is like a cavity, it's like a physical ailment. You can make teshuvah all day and feel bad all day long, but there's still a physical thing that you have to get rid of. And the way to get rid of that is through punishment. You have to be drilled. That's the first idea. That's what Chokhmah and Nevoah say. The second one is more like a debt. You owe somebody money. So you have to pay the money, right? You can't get out of it. But, well, you can transfer, you can pay over time, you can get someone else to pay, and you can't get someone else to fill your cavity, right? But even though it has to be paid, there's more flexibility. That's the second model of the Torah, of the Asham. You bring a sacrifice. You do something else. The third model is, we're going to get to it more, is what I call the forgot the birthday model. This is, you know, you forgot your wife's birthday. So then what happens? You repent, you say, I'm really sorry, and you really deeply show that you apologize and show regret for having forgotten it, and then you can repair the relationship, right? By showing that you feel bad and showing that you really care, because what happened when you forgot a birthday means you didn't care. Now you show you really care, so it gets better, right? The act of teshuvah actually takes away what was wrong. You call it all the lazy, let's say someone's lazy. And you know, he realizes I'm lazy, I'm not going to be lazy anymore. So by doing teshuvah, he really won't be lazy anymore if he really means it. So in this way, the teshuvah can get rid of the sin altogether. So these are the three models. And the Midrash includes all of them. What I want to do now is go back into the Torah itself and follow the development of each idea of sin and each idea of atonement. And also what it means about our relationship with Hashem. Okay, so back to the beginning. Remember that we just said in Gan Eden, the flood, Bavel, in Sodom, there's no possibility of Tisha B'Av. Good. Cain does have an element of Tisha B'Av there. He says, the sin is too great to bear, and Hashem does lighten the sin, right? And there's a nice, beautiful midrash on there that actually says, Cain told Hashem, you have to forgive me because look what you did in Chet HaEgel. You forgave them. So how could you forgive them after Chet HaEgel and not forgive me? So it's using Chet HaEgel as the paradigm even before it happens. Okay, so keep that in mind. And okay, so in the beginning, basically, sin is like a cavity. It's something that has to be punished right away. And you see this even in Aseret HaDibrot. Source number two. The second commandment, it's also on the wall, right? Lo yihye, lo tisa, lo tishtachav elahem, velo ta'obdem. Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha, El Kana. Don't bow down to idols, because I am a zealous God, or a jealous God. What does that mean? Hashem is zealous. It means he's going to punish the person right away. Not only that, he's going to punish the sinner and his children for all those who he hates. So God still is more compassionate than bad, right? Because he does give good for 1,000 generations, but still, when someone sins, they need to be punished right away. This is still in the first idea of sin as something physical that has to be taken care of. Next pasuk also, Lo tisa et shem Hashem Elokecha l'ashav, ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisa et shemo l'ashav. Hashem is not going to clean it. Hashem is not going to wipe away that sin of someone who takes his name in vain. Okay, that's the first model, which is a very strict and very harsh model. And it turns out Bnei Yisrael aren't able to live up to that. Because right after the Ten Commandments, what happens? They can't even hear anymore, right? And then they go and do Chet Egel, and they are Oved on this very commandment that Hashem said, I'm not going to tolerate it. You're going to be punished right away. So, sure enough, what does Hashem say? Source number 3. So still, it's exactly what we would expect. Hashem is Vayichad Api, that's also part of the first idea. God is angry, and he says, leave me alone, because I'm going to destroy them. And I'll save you. Right? This will be plan E. I'll save you, but I'm going to destroy them. Vaychal Moshe et p'nei Adonai Eloha vayomer, lama Adonai yechere apicha be'amecha, asher oset em es Mitzrayim bechoach gadol b'yad chazaka. Lama yomeru Mitzrayim lemor b'ra'o siyam laharog otam b'harim o'chal otam me'al p'nei adama. So Moshe says, no, I don't accept it. Don't be so angry. And he gives two reasons. First reason, what are the Egyptians going to say? The Egyptians that you just did all the makot to, they're going to say, oh, Hashem took them out just to destroy them in the desert. You want to have their reputation? Right? Hashem cares about his reputation. Not just for himself, because Hashem wants people to do good. And if people think of Hashem as being evil, then they're not going to do good anymore. So, and that'll upset Hashem's whole reason for creating the world. So that's not good. Moshe's a good lawyer. And then give a second reason. Zechor l'Avraham l'Yisrach l'Yisrael avadecha asher nishbat alahem bach v'tadaber alahem al beit zarachem kochei b'ashamayim v'chol ha'aretz hazot asher amarti eten lezarachem v'nachalehu le'olam. Second reason, you promised to the forefathers that you would make them plenty and give them this land. If you wipe them all out, then they're not going to be plenty. That's going to take a long time. It took them 400 years in Egypt to become a great nation. So you promised, God, you promised. You can't go back on your promise. And so he has two good points. And Hashem, sure enough, Vahinachem Adonai al hara'a shedibel lasot la'amo. God decides to, he changes his mind, and he takes away the punishment. So here there's a fundamental change, because this goes against the rules that Hashem set out. Hashem set out the rules. I am Elkanah. I'm zealous. I'm going to destroy you if you sin. And now he changes his mind. So this is a fundamental switch. Okay, good. Well, I mean, you see what it means, because you see what Hashem's reaction is. I'm going to destroy them right now. Right? Leave me alone. Go away. Move to the side so you don't get in the way. Okay, Vahimei Machorat. So let's see how this plays out. Vayomer Moshe la'am, atem chatatem chata'a gedola, ve'ata elel Adonai ulay chapera be'ad chatatem. All that above was while Moshe was still on the Har. Then he came down and spoke to them and said, you did a terrible thing. Let me go back up. Maybe I can get something for you. Vayashub Moshe el Adonai v'yomad. Ana chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola v'yosu lehem elohe zahab. V'ata. This is like vidui. He admits, yes, they did it. V'ata in tisa chatatam v'im ayin mechenina mesifrecha asher katabta. God, I want you to tisa chatatam is to carry their sin. In other words, don't punish them for it. Hold on to it, right? Vayomer Adonai Moshe, mi asher chatali emchenu mesifri. So Moshe said, erase me, and Hashem says, no, only those that sinned I'm going to erase, not you. Vata lech nechet ha'am ela shedibarti lach, v'nei malachi yelech lefanecha, ubyom pokdi ufakadati alehem chatatam. Vayigof Adonai et ha'am al asher asu et ha'egel asher asa haron. So a couple things happen here. First, Hashem says, I'll send you an angel. In other words, Hashem is not going with Bnei Yisrael anymore. So I won't destroy them, but I can't be with them. I can't see their faces. I'm so angry at them. So I'll send an angel, and they'll go and into Eretz Yisrael and all that. And the second thing he says, "Ubiyom pokti," on the day that I take accounting for their sin, I will take accounting. In other words, I'm not going to punish, kill them all now. But it's recorded that they did the sin, and they have to be punished at some point. Okay, so he'll carry the burden for a time, but not wipe it off. And sure enough, right after, there's a plague that kills many of the people, but not all of them. Okay, in the next chapter, Moshe negotiates more and says, Hashem, we don't want an angel to come with us. We want you to come with us. And Hashem gives in and says, okay, I'll come with you. And then Hashem says, I have to reveal to you a new set of attributes that you didn't know before. Because now this is a new deal. The first Luchot were broken, right? That's a fundamental change. And what I said before about being zealous God and all that, I see it can't work, right? Just like plan A and B and C and D didn't work. So now we need a new relationship, a new plan. And so the Yud Gim Midot, 13 attributes, is really God's next plan for B'nai Yisrael. Now, so we read number 4 already, those other 14 attributes. Just so you know, in the prayers, it says, Vayered Hashem Ba'anan, God comes down in a cloud. Vayitayasev Imo Sham, and Hashem stands next to Moshe. Moshe is standing on a mountain, and Hashem stands next to Moshe. Some commentators say it means Vayitayasev Moshe is standing with Hashem. But I think Pshat is Hashem is standing, comes down with Moshe. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, who is calling? Hashem himself is calling his own name. Hashem is showing Moshe how to pray. He's teaching him. He said, this is what you should say next time you do some, B'nai Yisrael does something bad, this is what you should do. Vayavor Hashem al panav. Hashem passes before Moshe. Vayikra. And Hashem says, Hashem, Hashem. This is the way you call someone, like Abraham, Abraham. Right? God, God. El rachum bechanun. And he lays out the rest. So this is Hashem teaching us what to say. Right. So number four is now we go to the second conception of sin is not like a cavity but like a debt, and nothing in this form second formula says that Hashem is going to wipe away something because of teshuvah. In fact, Moshe in his prayers before never says that B'nai Yisrael repented and they feel bad. He only uses the other strategies. You can't wipe them out because bold people say, what about the Avot? So Hashem says, okay, I'll delay it, right? I'll bear it. I'll be compassionate. I'll infuse the Midat Rachamim, the attribute of mercy into it. But Midat Hadin is still there also.
The story can end at that first line. That's it. Stop there.
But doesn't just change his mind. For Hashem to change his mind means something new has to happen, right? If I'm your boss, and I say you come late one day, you get fired. Then you come late one day, and now say, well, I don't really want to fire you because you know you're a good employee. Well, then we have to make a new contract. Right, there's two punishments, right? Levi kills some of the people that were responsible and the plague. But still, they're not totally wiped out. Okay, the next chart shows you, compares word by word, the attributes of the Aseret HaDibrot and the attributes now, after Chet HaEgel. In the first Dibrot, Hashem was El Kana. Now Hashem is El Rachum Bechanun. Right, those are exactly parallel. The first one, we see Chadon Af, right? It says Vayichad Af. And the second one, God is Erech Apayim. That's the same word. Chadon Af means becoming angry or burning nose. And Erech Apayim means a long nose, literally, right? Means it takes a long time for God to get angry. Third, before, God was Oseh Chesed Lafim Lo Havai Lo Shemim Misvotai. Noah said, only says for those he loves. Here now it's Rav Chesed. So instead of Oseh Chesed, it's more. Rav Chesed. And Oser Chesed Alafim, it doesn't have only Lo Havai. Sounds like even if someone evil does something good, God can still remember the good deed, even of an evil person. Next one, Lo Yisa L'Pishachem. That was by the third commandment, Lo Tisa. God will not bear the burden of your sin. Now the opposite, Nosei Avon Fesha. God will bear the burden of not only Avon and also Fesha. And before we had Lo Yinakeh, now we have v'nake lo yinake, which is actually the same for now, right? But we're going to see later when the rabbis split it up, they take v'nake by itself. Okay. And then finally, poked avon avot al banim is still there in both places, but it means something different in each place. In the first one, it meant God is going to punish you and your children, a very harsh punishment. After chet egel means God is going to be more compassionate and punish you, but not totally. God will delay it and give a peace to you and a peace to your children, a peace afterwards. Like if you owe a lot of money and you can't pay it all, if I pay it all now, I'm going to have to sell my house and my business and I'll be a wreck. So okay, you could pay over time, you could pay over a couple of generations. And then it's little by little, it's more bearable. Right, and here it's Hashem Hashem. Okay. I want to show you a few examples of the second model at work. Okay, where we see this in between of mixing. But I think you have to say it based on the context, because otherwise, what's different? Okay, look in Bimidbad. This is right after Chet HaMeraglim. Right, Bnei Yisrael about to go in. They send them the Meraglim, and they sin. And Hashem says, "Now you can't go in." And Hashem there again says, "I'm going to wipe them out." But Moshe prays, and now Moshe knows the formula. So what does he say? Vata yigdal na koach Adonai kaasher dibarta lemor. God, you know, he says, God, become great. You know, let me see your strength, as you told me, as you said to me. Adonai, erech apayim, v'rav chesed, noseh avon v'fasha, v'nake lo yinake, poked avon avot abanim, al shleshim v'al ribayim. See, Moshe is quoting what the formula, but does he quote it exactly? What does he leave out? He leaves out some of the good parts, right? Some of the positive parts. First of all, we have a precedent for quoting parts of the Yud Gimel Midot, and not all of them, right? Moshe already does it, and Moshe knew the original. No, other times too. We're going to see other times. Why does Moshe leave out some of the good parts of it? It must be that Moshe understood God's mood. And Hashem was not in the mood to hear, oh God, you do good for 1,000 generations. This generation did not deserve that, right? He asked for the most that he could possibly ask for. So why does he quote the bad? Well, because the bad is not really bad. Hashem is saying, v'nakeh lo yinakeh. I know you're not going to wipe out the sin totally, but at least don't wipe them all out now. Do it over time. And sure enough, Hashem doesn't wipe them all now. He kills them over the next generation, over the next 40 years, which means they won't go into the land, but at least they'll have children. Selachna davon ha-mazeh, kigot ha-chasecha, v'chashen ha-sat ha-mazeh, m'usayim v'adhena, v'yomer Adonai, selachti kivarecha. But here, selicha doesn't mean I forgive you and I forgot. Right? I forgive you, I won't destroy them completely. I'll remember that the new berit that we made, and I'll do it over time. A couple of other examples of paying over time. One is Achav. Was Achav a good king? Right, Achav and Izebel, the worst king. Right, he did Avodah Zarah his whole life, and then one time he wanted a vineyard that was near his palace, and it was owned by this guy Navot, and he said, Navot, can you sell it to me? And Navot said, it's my ancestral land, I don't want to sell it to you. So what did Achav do? On the advice of his wife, he had Navot killed. And then it was very convenient. Then he could just take his wife. And Eliyahu, the Navi, comes to him and says, "Now you killed and you stole," and he gives him all kinds of terrible things that are going to happen to him. The dogs are going to lick your blood off the streets. And then it says, "Vahi chishmo achav et hadevarim haele, vayikra begadav, vayasim sako besaro, vayasom, vayishka basak, vayithalech at." So he makes the shuvah. He tears his clothes, he fasts, he walks about, you know, slowly, he's all depressed. Look, Hashem says, he made teshuvah. Therefore, although I promised just now I promised to bring all bad things upon his house, but because he made teshuvah, I won't bring it on him. I'll delay it and bring it on his son. What? Well, sure enough, his son is evil, and his son does die within a couple of years. Disease. Okay, so you see, God, even though he makes teshuvah, God doesn't say, "Oh, he made teshuvah, I'll wipe it out." No, I'll delay it. Okay, he could live out his life, even though he was so evil. Another example is Yehu. Yehu was actually a very good king. Yehu, he went against the Baal worship. And what he did, he made a big announcement. He says, "Achav worshipped the Baal a little, I'm going to worship Baal a lot." And he invited a big convention of all the Baal worshippers. He said, "All the Baal worshippers, all from all over Israel, come and we're going to have a big convention." And they all come in, thousands of them, and once they're all in one place, he kills them all. So Yehu was a good guy. So Vayomer Adonai el Yehu, Yan asher hitivota la'asot hayashar be'enai, kechol asher belvavi, Asita lebet Achav, benedivim yeshu lechal kisei Yisrael. The problem is that the dynasty was already cursed, that it would have to end. But Hashem says, "Yehu, since you're good, I'll let you stay on the throne, and your children, four generations, you'll all see good, right? Your whole life. In other words, four generations is the longest that you can live to see. So you'll live to see all good during your time. But after that, the bad still has to come." Right, just because you did good doesn't mean I could wipe it out. It still has to come later. Last example. Vayomer Yeshayahu l'Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was a great king, right? He also got rid of all the idolatry. But at one point, there was some emissaries from Babel, and Chizkiyahu showed them all the treasury and the armory, which he shouldn't have done, you know, showing his secrets. And he gets punished for that. Hinei yamin ba'im v'nisa kol asher v'betecha, ואשר עשרו אבותיך עד היום הזה בבלה לא יבטל דבר אמר השם. And so the time is going to come when all those things that you have stored up that you showed to the emissaries, they're going to take it with them. ומבניך אשר יישאו ממך אשר תוליד ייקחו והיו סריסים בהיכל מלך בבל. And your own children are going to become eunuchs in the palace of King Babel. So what do you think Hezekiah's reaction is going to be? Sounds like it's terrible, right? ויאמר חזקיהו לישעיהו, טוב דבר אדוני אשר דיברת. He says, fantastic. That sounds great. ויאמר, הלוא אם שלום ואמת יהיה בימי. As long as there's peace and safety during my time. So Chizkiah recognizes there was a sin done here, so it has to be, the punishment has to come, but at least it won't come during my time, it'll come during, in the next generation. Okay. So, I mean, it's kind of a very surprising reaction, but we can only understand it on the basis of the second idea. So, where are we so far? Right, we had the whole history of the world, and in the beginning, there is sin and punishment. That's the first setup. And you see, it doesn't work. Because otherwise Hashem has to wipe out the world again and again, otherwise it's wiped out B'nai Yisrael. We can't live up to that level. So Hashem says, okay, I won't do it right away so that you can live, I'll do it over time. But you see, that also is only the second level, but there's also a third level. And this, we can see, you see it in many places, but one place you see it very clearly is in Tehillim, Mizmor Kuf Gemel, where it says, Yodia Terachav LeMoshe, Libnei Yisrael Alilotav. Hashem made known His ways to Moshe. What is that talking about? When Hashem told Moshe His attributes. And now it's going to quote them. What are those attributes? Rachum v'chanun Hashem, erech apayim v'rachesed. So far, so good, right? These are the attributes. Lo la nesach yariv, v'lo le'olam yitod. However, this is a new switch. Hashem will not bear a grudge. Hashem will not remember His anger forever. As opposed to the second one, where it can be delayed, but something has to be punished eventually. No, in this conception, no. Lo chachatenu asalanu, v'lo chavonotenu gamal elenu. Hashem is not going to punish us in an equal measure of the sin. Kigov ha'shamayim al ha'aretz gavar chasto al gire'av, kirchok mizrach v'ma'arav, kirchiku mimenu et pesha'enu. Hashem is going to make our sin far away from us like east and west. In other words, the sin is just not going to be anymore. Kerachem av al banim, this is where the the Musaf gets this phrase from here. Richam Hashem al Yedei Av. Ki hu yada yisem zachur ki afar anachnu enosh ki chasir amav kesis sasedeh ken yasis. Hashem knows that we're just dust. We're like plants that grow and then wither away. We're like wind that just blows by and you don't even know where it is anymore. But v'chesed Adonai me'olam v'adolam al yira'ad v'sidkato l'bnei adam. But Hashem's kindness is forever. Right? We are nothing. We're temporary, and Hashem is there forever. L'shomer b'yito zochre pikudav le'olam. Adonai b'Hashem echin kiso machuto b'kol mashala. Also from the prayers machuto b'kol mashala. Right? God is king, and that's important. Since God is the king, so a king has the ability and the right to pardon a sin and let it go forever. So this is a new idea that one can make teshuvah and the sin can be pardoned totally. You see it also in Yeshayahu, who says Hashmen lev ha'am hazeh ve'oznav hachbed ve'enav hasha'. The people are stiff-necked and they don't want to see. They don't want to listen to what the prophet has to say because penyidei ve'enav ubo'oznav yishma. If he listens, he might pay attention and then he might make teshuvah. Lavo yavin v'shav. And if he makes teshuvah, it will be healed. So it's using the metaphor of sin as an ailment, but now by making teshuvah, he can be cured. Right? It's like you go to the dentist and you make teshuvah, and then the cavity goes away. Or Yirmiyah, Shuvu banim shavavim el pam eshuvotechem, repent, and then Hashem will heal your affliction, or heal the sins that you made. So this is the highest level. No, I said highest level, although here's where it gets a little complicated. Is this the highest level or the lowest level? On the one hand, it seems that at the beginning is, you know, where there's an exact measure for measure, is a very strong connection, and that's Hashem's first bidit, the first idea, and that seems to be the highest. And only because they sin and they can't live up to that, so we go down the level and down the level until this very loose one, right? That's one way to see it. But you can also see it the opposite way. That when you do something only because there's a punishment that's right around the corner, then you're only doing because you're afraid of the punishment. There's no real relationship there. And it's just, that's a kind of a shallow relationship. When Hashem reveals to Moshe his attributes, that's when Moshe says, "Had any not kevodecha, show me your ways." Because then, at that point, Hashem is not just this kind of black box that we can't know. You do something bad, you get zapped. But Hashem shows a little bit of His personality, kivyachol, if you can say that. All right? Hashem says, "This is I am compassionate." And you say, "Well, how does that work?" And that's when Moshe wants to know more about Hashem, because that's when a true relationship that begins to develop. And it takes Moshe to rise up to that level of prophecy that he can get an insight into Hashem's working, even if only his back, not his front, right? But to have an understanding of what that means for Hashem to be compassionate. So in a way, even though it comes because of sin, but this level is actually a higher level and requires a deeper understanding of what Hashem's attributes and what He requires of us. Because this requires that we actually have a relationship. Right? If a spouse does something bad and they can talk it out and they can resolve it, and sometimes their relationship can be stronger after a fight than it was before it. Right? Then you're talking about a genuine relationship. And that's the kind of relationship that is possible on the third level after Hashem reveals that. So here's where we get back to the prayers. Why did the rabbis pick half of it and leave off the other half? It's obvious that they're very aware of the development of the prophetic idea of a sin and atonement. Look at source number 13, where it says, "Rabbi Elazar Omer, I efshal lomar nake, shekevan ne'emar lo yinake." We can't say in the prayer, God forgive cleanses, because it also says lo yinakeh. God doesn't. Yeshalom lo yinakeh shekvan ne'emar nakeh. There's a contradiction between nakeh and lo yinakeh. Hakesad. So what do we do? Menakehu lashavin, veno menakeh leinan shavin. So this is a mitzvah, so God will cleanse those who repent and not cleanse those who don't repent. So this is a mitzvah, not the pashat of the words, but it does reveal a very deep insight into what these words really mean. By splitting apart nakeh lo yinakeh, it's actually revealing another stage of vinakeh. Yes, God will wipe it out. And that's exactly what we pray for on Yom Kippur. We're praying for Hashem's mercy to reign over Hashem's midat hadin, and for our sins to be not just not punished and not just delayed, but even wiped out completely. Yes. Why not? Why only for individual also? Okay, but we say in the prayers every day. We say in Ashvei, right? Chanun v'lachom Hashem, Elech Chafayim v'lach Chesed. That's a quote from Yudgal Midah. Why do we say it? No, Hashem didn't say that. It could be on any. Why not? You see that it's used, you know, for all the kings. It's used in those are individuals. It's used on an individual level. It's using them. They're being applied. So this is good. So this is the great power of teshuvah. Rabbi Labaton talked about last week about all the. Is there anything so bad that you can't make teshuvah for? And now we see that teshuvah is not something you take for granted. The world didn't have to have teshuvah in it. You can imagine a world without it. And in fact, in paganism, you know, sin is more like the thing that the cavity that you have to be punished for. It's only when you have an understanding of one Hashem who is powerful over everything, and who has a relationship and wants us to do good, and will do anything it takes to have that relationship to make it good. That's where you see the real power of teshuvah, because it's a big chidush, it's a great revolution and a great gift that Hashem gives us. So it's something that we should take advantage of, especially now. Go ahead, Joan.
In one of your examples, you brought the story from Elohim of Ahab. So Hashem said, because he did teshuvah, I'm not going to bring disaster on his life, I'll bring disaster on his son's life.
Right.
How is that an atonement or teshuvah or
It's not. It's still not. The final level was still not revealed, or it's still not understood, at least by him. And so, at that point, no, teshuvah doesn't wipe it away. Or maybe it wasn't enough of a complete teshuvah. And so, it couldn't be wiped out. It was still working in the second model of its delayed.
Well, yeah,
I have to think of it as, it's going to be a nuclear war. It's going to destroy the world. Right? So you want it to happen now or in 50 years? 50 years. Oh, thank you. At least we have another 50 years. Right. Right. Okay, good. Right, good. So there you have the third level. And sure enough, it's the Gezerah is wiped away completely. Right, the third, it's wiped away completely. Okay, good. That's a good example. In the Sefer Yonah, he quotes Yudgim Midot, but without the end, like the same way that we quote it. And sure enough, they make Teshuvah. And sure enough, the Gezerah is not delayed, but it's completely annulled. Now, I don't think that one level replaces the other. They could all be active at the same time. Because we do have an idea that even for certain sins, teshuvah is enough. But for certain more stringent sins, you need Yom Kippur also. And for very terrible sins, it's teshuvah and the day of death. You need the day of death to repent. So there, what the good part is, I mean, the bad part is you need have to wait till day of death, but the good part is it doesn't have to be early. It could be after 120, one dies, then that act of death can help repent. So you see in that Gemara, there's still an idea that Teshuvah by itself can only do so much for certain sins, and there needs to be some kind of punishment at some point, even if it's delayed, and even if the person was going to die anyway, right? So I think you really have all three levels occurring all at the same time. And what we're doing in our prayers is pushing ourselves to have the understanding of Hashem, pushing Hashem to be compassionate and have the third level of wiping it out completely. Thank you very much.